Right now it is time for We Move the Newspaper. It's time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. In the center studio is Cynthia Hosmider. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
And on the telephone line, obviously, with sore muscles as well.
General Pat.
We have Janet Manco. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
So are your muscles sore?
No, well, sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're not totally done yet in that, you know, we're still sort of settling into our new home in Falls Village. And we still are essentially renters at the Lakeville building until we hand the keys over for good to Salisbury Bank. And that will hopefully be Monday morning, October 30th.
All right,
so
well,
shouldn't you be the Lakeville Falls Village Journal going forward?
Well, no. But, you know, we've been the Lakeville Journal since 1897,
yep,
and we've covered all these towns all that time. So it's not as if it's a new thing. Well, you'll see some of the history throughout this paper that Cynthia will talk about. This week's issue, we delve into some of the history of the paper. But even within recent memory, I think everybody knows we're not just covering Lakeville. We cover the towns in the region, especially Region 1. And but even over the line with our special sections and Compass, we go across three states. And so it's just name recognition, and people know who we are as the Lakeville Journal. We have talked about changing the name over the course of time as, you know, our coverage area, you know, was more expansive than just Lakeville, because if it were just Lakeville, we wouldn't be here. You know, there's just not enough to support a paper or a media company if all we sold was Lakeville. So, though we are very committed to it and loved being in Lakeville for all those many years.
All right, so now, before we get to the news, whenever you move and you've been at a place forever, basically, even though it hasn't been forever, because I remember the Journal when it was another place before where it is now. But you must have found, everybody must have found some things when you were moving that you went, oh, my God.
That's what that is.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that the truth? Yes. Oh, Cynthia should probably talk to that, because we all did it. And we found things that, because remember, we moved to this building in 1983.
Yeah.
But where we moved from at Pocket Knife Square, items went all the way back to 1897, and so we were finding some things in the backs of drawers and hidden in the backs of shelving that, predated that. And some of our furniture predated 83 by far. So it was fascinating, and Cynthia did gather up a lot of the history. We found the packet that reflected what was written during the last move when Bob Esterbrook moved the Lakeville Journal from Pocket Knife Square over to Bissell Street, and, you know, we wrote about it throughout the newspaper this time, and we included some of what he wrote then and later.
Well, you want to know how stupid I am? When I came here, because it was post-1983, I always thought it was just called the Lakeville Journal because you were in Lakeville. Not because you covered. I always thought you covered lots of different places.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That was the only reason I asked about Falls. We call it changing it to the Falls Village Journal, not because of your area of coverage.
All right. All right. Well,
maybe we will.
That's right. Keep the name. I love the name, and I love the masthead.
Well, of course, everybody in Falls Village is saying to us it should be called the Canaan Chronicle, because there's the ongoing dispute about whether it's called Canaan or Falls Village. And one of the things I found in the back of my drawer was a very funny handwritten note from Lou Timelot at the last time they were discussing the name of the town, and switched it over to officially the town of Canaan / Falls Village. And he little, in his little dry humor way, he wrote on the paper, "This should clear everything up forever."
Yeah. So, yeah. Even then, yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
It's
so
not clear what it should be if we change it.
So we talked about really the one of the main stories that Cynthia you wrote off for the front page, which the Journal office is now in Falls Village.
Well, so what we basically tried to do with this issue was we were prepared for the worst, because as you know, anytime you're moving, you never know if the electricity's not going to work, the internet's not going to work, the servers aren't going to work. So we tried to have this whole issue done ahead of time, and we're so grateful to our towns for scheduling their municipal elections right around the time of our move. So this is a very candidate heavy issue of the Lakeville Journal, but of course the big front page story is our move and the incomparable Greg Riley, who is so amazing, and his team moved us, and under the direction of Janet Manco, who is incredible, let me say, and James Clark, who made sure that all of the computers were up and running within 2 days, and we got this actually pretty newsy issue out. So come visit us on Route 7 in Falls Village, 8 minutes from the center of North Canaan, and we're going to have a housewarming party soon.
All right.
So we've got some photos in here. We should have some more photos up online.
All right. So now we go from your move to Falls Village to something which really has become very, very big, and that is the Gilmore Girls weekend.
It's huge. The Gilmore Girls are so big. And, of course, the legend is that the Gilmore Girls was created by I can't think what her name is. I'm not that much of a Gilmore Girls person. I'm sorry. But she was down in Washington, Connecticut, and that's the actual Stars Hollow. But the original Gilmore Girls weekend, which was held, I think, last year, they had in New Milford, I think. And the people in town didn't like it. There were too many cars. There were too many people. The cat is going crazy right now in the studio. And so this year they had it in Kent. And everybody in Kent seemed very happy with it. It's a big town. It's kind of sprawling. They were able to spread out. They had more than 1,500 people there, all of them in costume, super happy. They had beautiful weather. And one of the people that Jenny Hansel quotes in her article said, this actually is Stars Hollow. It's got the gazebo. It's got the little bakery. It's got everything. And, of course, my friends Tina and Kevin, who are here in the booth with me, we went down to Kent yesterday, and it really is so New England-y. It's just the dream. It's the dream.
All right. I love the picture of the hot air balloon.
Everybody. I can't remember if it was Kevin. Somebody said to me, gee, look, there's a big blue balloon over the lake. And I was like, okay. And then, we got a bunch of photos of it on Monday morning. And I think it was one of the photos Mark Needhammer got was of the family of this young couple who had just gotten engaged. They celebrated their engagement by going off on a hot air balloon that left from the Interlaken, landed on Lake Wenanskapobic, and I think was headed toward the ball field in Salisbury. It landed there at the ball field, the Pope Field. And very sweet. And I think it's Paul Henrici's family. I'm not sure why Paul
was in the photos. Right, and Carol Bertarici, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We will move over to Nature's Notebook by Bernie Drew. Observant.
So that we, of course, had 3 weeks of hikes for the Housatonic Heritage National Heritage Area here. Bernie is always a presenter for these and other history walks, and he's talking about a friend of his who took a walk out, and he's talking about some big boulders around here. And one thing that Kevin and Tina noticed here is there's an awful lot of rocks in the northwest corner, and some of them, Bernie explains, are here because of glacial drift, which is interesting.
All right, and we continue on with Party Like It's 1979.
I love this story. I loved working on it. And a lot of people have responded, of course, a lot of people my age living up here in the northwest corner, that they remember those days in New York, and everybody wants to tell me what their rent was, which is it's phenomenal. People paying $300 a month for a whole house, just great. But this is the last of the three-part series, and just kind of a nice reminder to people who are newer to our area that we like it this way. We like to keep it this way.
All right. We will move in. Now, this is a very small story, but I saw it at the top, and I think being as November 4th as the Cupcake Challenge.
Yeah, that is a big one. In fact, I have a friend who's a professional cupcake baker. I told her she should enter. But at the Pilgrim House, they're having a cupcake competition. Find out all about it on page A2.
All right. And now, really, what I noticed and what made the paper so interesting is how you tied in history and really in every page of the journal this time.
And actually, one of the things we weren't able to do that normally we would have done is we had all the stories prepared pretty much before we did the move. But we weren't able to really sit down and figure out how much space we needed just because the computers were moving and James was really busy. So we had a huge amount of old photos and old newspapers that we scanned for this issue that we didn't have space for. So look for them in our issue of November 30th. Which is right after Thanksgiving. So we kind of shut down a little bit over Thanksgiving week. And so we'll have a lot of those old photos and some of that history. And I'm sure a lot of people will see either their parents or themselves as children in the photos for the decades. But this is the story that Bob Astorbrook wrote in 1897 on our anniversary, our 200th anniversary.
Yeah, for 2007.
For 2007. And it's such a, Bob, of course, was such a brilliant guy and such a good writer. And so we periodically run this again. It seemed like an appropriate time to do it and remind people where we've come from. And then we added on toward the end of it. I'm having a little cat allergy here, sorry. we added on to, because we've had so much change in the last year as we've changed from covering the towns to covering the regions. Oh, thank you. My assistant gave me some water. Thank you. So we changed from the town's coverage to the topic coverage, which has been a big deal. We closed down our Winsted newspaper, folded it into the Lakeville Journal, which has actually been great for us. And you'll see that on the candidate pages, we have 10 towns instead of the 6.
All right. I love the pictures. I do love the pictures of Paul Newman. It's just fun to peruse through it and see it all.
We had some people from historical societies and from other organizations come into the office and go through our incredible file cabinets, and we have to thank Lou Timelot again for storing our photo negatives from 50 years of, I think, from the 1950s to around 2000, are now at the Falls Village Sawmill. But we invited Rick Rosso from Lime Rock, and I said, you know, we have so many photos of the track through the years. And I said, you know, I've got all these pictures of Paul Newman there. And he goes, ah, Paul Newman. Everybody's got pictures of Paul Newman. But we have tons and tons of other great photos. And, of course, we will be running them again in our November 30th issue.
All right. You've got a great a really first-class rundown of all the elections. By the way, I think the last day to register to vote, what is it, 31st?
Yes, there's a special registration day on the 31st, unless you're – there's some funny expression that they had. Janet, you had it on the fax that came into the office. Like, if you turn 18, if you move to town, if you move back to the country or something, you can register November 6th.
But yeah, and we actually have that in a screen box right at the beginning of this 2017 election coverage on page A5 in the paper. We describe that in depth.
All right. Now, this is the first time in a long time in towns like Falls Village where there's actually
contested seats
for first selectmen and selectmen.
Yeah, so we've got the slates for all of the towns, all 10 of them this time. And I have to say, some of the smallest towns have the biggest number of candidates running for the most offices. Little Barkhamsted, Little Falls Village, tons and tons of candidates. And as you say, there are some contested seats, which is excellent, and some interesting races coming up. And there is going to be the North Canaan Candidates Forum is going to be Friday.
Yep. I think it's at 7:30.
It's 7:30. And we of course have some information on that on page A2. And Janet, do you remember if there are any other
forums? Not that I know of, but you know, we're getting close to the election now. And in North Canaan and in Falls Village, it's not only that we have contested races, but a real changing of the guard in that longtime leaders of those towns decided not to run again. And, you know, the slate is clean, and we'll see where these towns go. It's a big moment for them.
All right. I want to move on to the obituary page. Some people that are very well known in the area, Roy Sherwood passed away, and a celebration of his life will be held on Sunday the 5th at the Town Grove. I did a documentary on Roy about 5 years ago, an hour-long documentary where we talked to him, Rosina Rand. And then he provided me and his family and the Historical Society with all these pictures. He was a giant of a man, and he was really a pretty amazing athlete in the Olympics and in ski jumping for so many years.
And, of course, it is a changing of the guard as that first generation of skiers, people who still remember the early ski slopes. And the ski jumps has become such an important part of our community, our annual February jump season, and Roy Sherwood was one of the most famous early jumpers. He was an Olympian, and if you can see in the photo, he still has the old-fashioned parallel ski format. Nowadays, of course, they do the V format.
Whenever I used to do a story on the Salisbury Winter Sports Association, if I said Swassa, he would call me up and say, don't call it Swassa, call it Salisbury Winter Sports Association.
Oh, that's so interesting, because from the minute I moved here, it was always like, Swassa.
Now, something that's not in there, and which is a shock to everybody, was the passing of
Evan Rashkoff
on Wednesday morning.
So
and really, the whole area literally is in shock.
Yes.
And, of course, his family and our hearts go out to them.
Right. Yeah. Wonderful Claire and the kids. So, yes, so sorry to hear about that. And a service, I guess, coming up Saturday.
Saturday at the Congregational Church, and there'll be a meeting afterwards where people can get together. Now, getting back to the elections, I guess on the editorial page, your endorsements and look at all the different races.
That's right. And we get into, you know, who's running in the towns. Of course, we have that in depth throughout the paper. Take a look through everything, especially if your towns are having big changes coming up. You know, it's interesting because a few years ago, Sharon was having the big changeover. Bob Mueller had been in place for so many years, and Brent Colley stepped up and has just made it so much his own position and has done great things in Sharon. So each of these towns, you know, it's a change. It's a look forward to the next generation, and we discuss all of it. So do take a read, and next week we will take all letters that are related to the election. Don't be afraid to write in. It's we're not limiting any this year because of the move. It was a bit frazzled, let's say. We did get all the letters in that we had this week, but we welcome more for next week before the election.
All right, and on the Viewpoint pages, you've got Carol Asher, Philip Truax, and I love the news of very narrow interest.
That's right. Yeah.
I just do. I love that.
Well, I'm glad. It's a little unusual. It's the vision of the writer, M.A. Duca, and he feels that, you know, he writes about things that are just a little obscure, a little bit out of the mainstream, and things people aren't necessarily thinking out as about. But he wants us to think about them, and so this time it's Looking Through the Water Glass, so don't miss that. And we have Dick Ollis on famous candidates you've never heard of. And Carol Asher's piece is timely, even though she's talking about empathy after natural disasters. And it's pretty incredible, actually, that so much time has passed since these hurricanes hit and the fire started in California, but that repercussions are still with all of those areas, and they will be for a long time to come, and we can't forget them.
All right. And I will flip over, and you've also got the health page. And Cynthia, once again...
Managed.
You're going to beat this to death.
Yes. Well, here's Tina right here in the booth with me, who brought me a suitcase full of beets from all the way from Seattle, Washington. And that's love, you know, when your friend brings you beets.
That's right.
And she cooked them for me, too, and they were phenomenal.
That's really love.
She's been here for 5 days. She's cooked every night. I keep inviting strangers in off the street. She thinks we're having, like, my friends over. It's just people. Tina's cooking. Come on over. So we've had abondons at my house. But also the beets, of course, delicious. We do have beautiful beets here in the Hudson Valley, but Tina brought us special ones from Seattle. Extra tasty because they're made with love, and, of course, they're good for you.
My grandmother used to try to force me to eat beet soup when I was a kid, and the only way I would eat it if they put sour cream in it.
Borscht.
But probably with me, it was a 50-50 mix of sour cream.
I was thinking it was more like 70-30.
Whatever it takes. Also, I just want to point out on the jump page, there's been an ongoing discussion with the Zoning Board of Appeals about one of the lake houses. Of course, the lake is very precious to us here in Lakeville, and people do like to push the edge of the rule envelope on what they're doing with their houses, and it's a constant battle with people trying to build bigger and bigger houses closer and closer to the water. So that's an ongoing issue that we're looking at. And, of course, we have a small compass. We're going to have some larger compasses coming up.
Now, but you've got about the film fest in Columbia County.
Yeah, very interesting. A bunch of interesting films, and films that sort of have been showing at the movie house. There's an interesting one with Frances McDormand that's coming up. Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which looked great. And a little description, Fred Baumgarten writing about that. 18 films, I think, coming up. Dana Gavin, who is younger than we are, and is writing about Clue, the theater production without music. And, you know, all of us, I think, grew up playing Clue. She came to it a little bit later and points out that there's a lot of odd 1950s jokes, but she laughed at them anyway. But she liked the production, and it's at the Center for Performing Arts in Rhinebeck. Fred Baumgarten writing very knowledgeably about Protestant sacred music and hymns by Martin Luther. And, of course, this is, I think, we're coming up on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. So that's going to be the wonderful Christine Gevert and her crew for Crescendo, those concerts coming up. And Leon Graham writing about strong 16th century women. Catherine Parr, one of the wives of Henry VIII, a theater production at Shakespeare and Company. He liked it a lot. And, of course, we all know Catherine Parr so much better now, and all the wives, because we all watched Wolf Hall. Well, actually, Wolf Hall, they didn't get to all of them. But
you know, what was interesting about the compass is when you look at the Columbia County Film Festival, it's hard to believe. You know, that is the oldest film festival in the area.
I didn't know that.
It's like 17 years old.
That's
This was the 18th film, Columbia Festival.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought the Woodstock Film Festival was older, but no, it's they're all babies compared to this.
Yeah. Right.
Which I never realized.
Right, and Fred notes that in his first paragraph and really gives us some good information about it. And, you know, it's so close by, and we just need to remember how much is going on, even as the summer season has ended.
And all these film festivals are doing something very smart. They expand to multiple theaters in multiple towns.
Right.
They've done it with BIFF. They've done it with the Woodstock Film Festival and the Columbia Film Festival. So you get to go to see more films and in more locations.
That's right.
And it's better for the economy, which really helps the economy. All right, you've got a pretty busy real estate section this week.
We do, and I was, you know, commenting to Kevin and Tina. There's just some beautiful properties here that are actually, you know, it's you hate that the real estate market is a little depressed, but there's actually some pretty well priced, beautiful properties in here. One house that I've been really interested in, I don't think it's in this particular issue. It was in the last month's issue. Is in Colebrook. There's a house. The last remaining house of Addison Meisner above the Mason-Dixon line. And, of course, Addison Meisner, one of the most famous architects of the early mid-20th century. And it's a house called Rock Hall, and it's been an interesting ongoing situation with that house, which is it's a big estate. It was bought by a couple. He's a Wall Streeter. Before 2008, they put an enormous amount of money into it, bought it at the peak of the market, and then, of course, 2008 happened. Then they tried to turn it into a bed and breakfast. And then in the process of their running it in that fashion, the town of Colebrook decided to put wind turbines up and gave permission to the wind turbine company actually to put some very close to the edge of their property. So the property is called Rock Hall. The turbines are going up on Rock Hall Lane. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that property. I'm actually hoping to go talk to the owners about that sometime, but I'm not sure that they want to talk about it.
I'm sorry. The most interesting piece of property that's in the real estate is on the back page, and it is the former regional high school.
Yeah.
That's been there for a while.
That building, which looks similar to what Housatonic used to look like, not quite, but that's up for $3.9 million. And I always thought that some college or something, yeah, some learned it would purchase that because it is a beautiful site that has access to Route 22 and also, you know, north, south, east, and west. It's just a great location.
And it has almost 40 acres along with it, which,
yeah,
is extraordinary in that area. It is. It's a beautiful setting and has just sat there for all these years.
And you know, and what they did with the Amenia Town Hall by repurposing that old school building, you would just figure this would be a perfect building for somebody who has some money to come in and repurpose it either for housing or for whatever. It's just you hate to see buildings like that eventually fall into disrepair and have to be destroyed and taken down.
Maybe right. Bard will buy it. Bard seems to be buying lots of campuses all over.
Well, it would be a great satellite for Bart.
Yeah. It would. Let's put out a plea right here. Somebody, come look at that building. Clem Real Estate is listing it.
They already got that nice orchard going out there.
All right. Well, so I want to congratulate you on your moves because I remember when we moved the Q103 from our original location to the train station. And I remember, thank God we had a computer. We were able to just, you know, move the computer on battery and keep the station on the air. But I know what a mess it is to move in. Congratulations.
Thank you. And, yeah, it's funny. I don't know if people realize how many people we have working at the Lakeville Journal and how, you know, how much stuff we had in that building and all of that because, you know, it's a different kind of media. And we do... you know, Cynthia pulls it together amazingly. This issue, she just did a fantastic job doing this, and in the middle of moving everything, found a way to keep things going. But it still is a little daunting.
Probably as you look back on it, you'll go, my gosh, this was like childbirth.
I think it was for Janet. She's making it sound very easy, but it was a lot of work for her. And the rest of us just kind of moved our own stuff, but she really had to take care of everything.
And so you ate beets when it was all done.
We had beautiful
Well, you had a beet bringer and a beet cooker. As I say, it's like One thing for someone to bring them, it's another thing. It's even better for them.
Well, you know, actually, when Tina and I were Tina and Kevin and I were planning this visit, I said, you know, at some point in the middle of this, we're going to have to move our office. And Tina said, it's going to happen the day we get there, of course. And of course it did. But it was great. I had somebody cooking for me the whole week. It made it very easy.
I think what she really said is, that's okay. It'll happen the day we get here. I'll bring beets.
Yeah. That's right. And now maybe they'll look through Tricona Real Estate and decide they'd like to move here.
Right. I found a place with a trout stream that's right near my house.
All right. Well, we'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Take care. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. You can find them on the web, tricornernews.com, and on Facebook. And, of course, you've got home delivery and at area newsstands.